12, verse chapter 8, verse 17.
Turn to the 12.
I love those who love me and those who seek me.
12, verse chapter 8, verse 17. Could you speak louder so that everyone can hear? Christopher, 14:26. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I come before you, and your children also come before you. I ask that you open our eyes that we can see, and open our ear that we can hear. Then I pray that you help us to remember what you have said to us. And you promise us that you're going to give us heavenly riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. As we seek your face, I pray that you hear our prayer. As we seek your face and seek your grace and mercy, I pray that you're going to bestow mercy and grace upon each and every one of us that who come before you with confidence, knowing that you are faithful God and you are good to us. And I pray that as we study your word and you help each and every one of us understand what you have to say to us and help us to remember what you have said. And so that we walk in your path, and so that we can meet you face to face. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Today I talk about two topics. The first one, love the Lord. The second one, fear the Lord. Okay? The entire Bible not only tells us that we should love the Lord, the Bible also tells us that we should fear God. Okay? Any question? So, next week, so we're going to memorize how many Bible? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 Bible verses. They are all in Proverbs. Okay? And I found out is, I tell you what I experienced, okay? Yesterday, when I prepared the lesson, I memorized it. And once I memorize it, and then I go to bed. And then when I go to bed, I wake up my wife. And then my wife told me a few things regarding what happened in the church. And she said to me that Ming Fong is not feeling too well, but she is very, very faithful in serving the Lord. And then I remember Ming Fong. And then I pray for Ming Fong. I ask the Lord to show His grace and mercy upon Ming Fong. And because Ming Fong is very, although Ming Fong is not feeling too well, but she is faithful in serving the Lord, both in the north side, helping us to do the cooking, and also helping us in the south side, and help us to give rise to people to come to the church. And I pray that according to what I memorized the Bible verses, I said, Lord, you heal all diseases, and I pray that you show your mercy upon Ming Feng. And after I prayed for Ming Feng, my wife told me another person, saying that Michelle. Michelle is the one that is Donald's mother. And my wife told me that Michelle willing to help out to do the cooking in the north side. And I know that Michelle is waiting for the Lord's blessing to give her a job. And I pray according to what I memorized. I say, oh Lord, with you are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. And you promise us that in verse 21, you're going to bestow wealth to those who love you. And this lady loves you. And I pray that you're going to bestow wealth upon her and help her to find a good job. So I make this announcement, and I want you to be my witness to prove that how God is faithful to each and every one of us. And won't be very long, Michelle going to get a job. If she's continue to walk in the right path, because God say in Proverbs chapter 8 verse 20, God say, I walk in the way of righteousness. I walk along the path of justice. If my children obey my word and love me and walk in the same path, Michelle will meet God face to face. When Michelle meet God face to face, God can bestow wealth on those who love him. Did Michelle love Jesus? She doesn't have the job, but she wants to do the cooking for the Northside Church. Should I pray like that? So I want you to be my witness to see how faithful God is. Okay? Whatever I hear from my wife, are using the Bible verses I learned? Are using the Bible verses that I memorized? And because you told me that you walk in the way of righteousness, you walk along the path of justice, and if your children walk in the same path, will they meet God face to face? Christopher? If Jesus Christ walk in the way of righteousness, and you walk in the same way, will you meet him? Will you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Daniel? If Jesus Christ walk in the way of righteousness, and you walk in the same way, will you meet Jesus? When you meet Jesus, according to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21, what do you get? Jesus Christ bestowed wealth on those who love him, right? Isn't it? And making their treasuries full. If you do not memorize Bible verses, when your friends has problems, you don't even know how to pray for them. When you memorize Bible verses, when your friends has problem, has need, if they do the right thing, you know how to pray for them. And you also know when you pray for them, will the Lord answer your prayer? Anna? Yes. Should we memorize it? Yes. I want you to write down, today's Mark 16. I pray for her on Mark 15. I want to see when God can answer my prayer and give her the job. Okay? Then we know what God say is true. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17, God say, I love those who love me. We love the Lord, not just with my mouth say, oh, I love the Lord. If I say with my mouth, I don't even love the Lord, then for sure I won't love the Lord, right? If I say I love the Lord with my mouth only, there's a 50-50 chance that you love the Lord. There's a 50-50 chance that you don't love the Lord. Because the Bible says some people love the Lord only what? With their mouth. If someone that loves the Lord with their deed, and do exactly what God said, do they truly love the Lord? Can someone read it to me? Bona, could you read it to me? Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. What does it mean by love the Lord? If I love the Lord, and what do I get if I love the Lord? Gospel of John 14, 21.
Whoever has my
commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself. So what kind of benefit do I have if I love the Lord? He will love me. On top of that, what else do I get? I will see him. And what does he mean by love the Lord? You have to do what he says. There's some sister who hear that, you know, there's a need in the north side. Everybody hear the same announcement. Some people willing to say, okay, I know there's a need in the north side church. I know there's a need in the kitchen help. And Michelle willing to help out. Ming willing to help out. And my wife told me, because I don't go to the kitchen, I don't know who's doing the cooking. My wife know that. My wife tell me, when I know that, I pray to God. I say, God, these are the girls, Ming Feng and Michelle Chen, are your children that who love you. They hear your word, and they walk in the way of righteousness. And you promised me in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21, that our Lord Jesus Christ walk in the way of righteousness, along the path of justice, and now your children walk in the same way, do exactly what you told them to do, and you promise to bestowing what? Bestowing wealth on those who love you, and making their treasuries full. And I pray that you give them the job, a good job. And I know God will hear my prayer because he's faithful. That's what he said, and that's what I pray. And I mark it down, and I want to see when is he going to get the blessing. Is Michelle around?
No.
Michelle's not here. Okay? That's good. Go back. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those, said the Lord, who love me. And those who seek me, find me. How do I seek the Lord? According to the Gospel of John 14, verse 21, whoever do the command of Jesus Christ, whatever he told you, you do it, you are the one who seek God. If he tells you to do something, you refuse to do it, you are not seeking God. If you don't seek God, you won't find him. Can anyone tell me how can I seek God? What did I just say? Daniel?
To follow Jesus' command.
Follow his command. You have to know what he has said to you. Okay? If I pray according to his word, am I seeking God or I'm not seeking God? If I pray according to his promise, I'm seeking God. If I do exactly what he told me, I'm seeking God. Right? Am I? Okay. If I seek God, if I love God, what do I have? Proverbs 8:18, what he has. He said, with me are riches and honor. Why would he give us riches and honor? Why would he give us enduring wealth and prosperity? Why? When you seek God, will you have shame and suffering? Yes or no? No? Are you kidding? Tell you one thing, write it down. The moment you make a decision to seek God, the moment you make a decision to love the Lord, you face persecution. Okay? When you face persecution, when you have shame because you do God's will, God say, I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you true riches. When you seek God, when you love the Lord, will you suffer financial loss? Daniel? Anyone who loves the Lord will suffer financial loss. Okay? But when you suffer financial loss, he said, with me are riches and honor. You have shame, I replace it with honor. You lost your wealth, I give you true riches. I give you enduring wealth. And I give you prosperity. So what did I say? The person who loves the Lord, the person who seek God, what would they have? What do you have first before you get wealth? Persecution. And what else? Suffering. What else? Shame. What else? Financial loss. Now let me ask you a question, okay? Let's say you know there's someone who needs to hear the gospel and he didn't have a car. Do you think you are doing God's will by going to her house or his house, drive her here, give her a ride? Will you have financial loss? No? You have to pay more gas. What do you mean no? Of course no to you, because you don't pay anything. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. No. If you don't put on gas, the car won't run, man. Right? The moment you want to love the Lord, the moment you try to seek Him, seek His face and grace and mercy, is the moment you have to carry the cross. You have to make sure that you're willing to suffer financial loss. And then he said, if you suffer financial loss, with me are riches and honor. You have shame, I replace your shame with honor, replace your financial loss with riches. And I will give you what? Enduring wealth. The wealth that you lost now is temporary wealth. You cannot bring it to the heaven. But God can replace it with enduring wealth and prosperity. Listen to me carefully. If you do not suffer any financial loss, you won't get true riches. If you don't do things that the Lord wants you to do and suffer shame and persecution, you won't get honor. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, just like what you have heard in the TV. I'm telling you, you have to suffer first before you get honor. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Humility comes before what? Humility comes before honor. When you do God's will, you can't do God's will with a proud heart. You can only do God's will with humility. When you suffer humility, I can guarantee you, if it's not because of your sin, if you suffer humility because you do God's will, because you love the Lord, because you seek His face, you seek His grace and mercy, I can guarantee you, God's going to give you honor. Because with Him are honor, riches, enduring wealth, and prosperity. Chapter 8, verse 19. My fruit is better than fine gold. What does it mean, my fruit? My fruit means you have done something for the Lord. You have, just like a tree, you have to wait for the tree to bear fruit. When you've done something, you got to be patient and wait before the Lord. The Lord will do something for you. Because the Lord said, my fruit is better than fine gold. And what I yield surpasses choice silver. When you have done good in the sight of God, don't expect a return right away. You have to be patient. You understand? Just like fruit takes time to bear. Right? And then in chapter 8, verse 20, the Lord said, I walk in the way of righteousness. I walk along the paths of justice. If we learn to do righteousness, did anyone memorize the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? Christopher memorized? Who else memorized it? Only two persons? You two? Well, I give a try.
Thank you.
All scriptures.
All scriptures are God breathed.
Is.
All scriptures is God breathed.
And is useful?
Oh, yeah. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
So that
the man of God may.
So that the man of God
is thoroughly
maybe
may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
May be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, all scripture is God breathed, and all scripture is useful. Is useful for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, if I read the scripture will help me and will train me in righteousness. And train me in righteousness, that means help me to walk in the path of justice, help me to walk in the way of righteousness, help me to meet God. In other words, if I read the scripture, if I learn to practice it, practice what I learned, one of these days, I will meet God face to face. Because he walked in the way of righteousness, he walked along the path of justice. If I walk the same way, one of these days, I will meet him. Does that make sense, Daniel? From time to time, you hear a lot of Christians saying to you that, I heard about people saying they met God, but I never met God. That means we are not using the Bible to train ourselves in righteousness. We don't put what we have learned in practice. We don't walk in the way of righteousness. But Jesus walked in that way, but we don't walk in that way. And how can we meet him? We walk in the way of wickedness. Will we meet God and walk in the way of wickedness? No? You say no, then okay. I know you will say no. Okay, Bonner, I want you to read that. Acts chapter 9. There's a person called Saul. He walked in the way of wickedness. He persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians. Could you do me a favor? Acts chapter 9. Would you read it? Verse 1 all the way to 19. So is he a wicked person? Okay, he's a wicked person because he was breathing out murderous threat against the Lord's disciples. Keep reading it. In Damascus?
Get up and go into the city, and you'll be told
so mad God when he do wicked thing. Then what happened when he met God? Well, before he repented, something happened first. Eh? So what happened? You have to speak louder, Daniel. What do you think? Who was humiliated? How was he humiliated? He become blind, right? And then for how long? 3 days? And then what did he do? Okay, now. In verse 9, we know, okay, when he met Jesus Christ face to face, he can't see anymore. Is it scary? Is it scary? At that time, he didn't know that he can see. Probably he think that he'll be blind forever. Right? When you do wicked thing, persecute Christian, and if God meet you, you will be in deep trouble. Okay? So don't persecute Christian. Because if you persecute Christian, you persecute Jesus Christ. Because Christians are member of Jesus Christ. We are his body. We are his member. He's the head. Right? You persecute him, you persecute Christian, that means you persecute Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ asked him, why are you persecuting me? Okay? He was blind for 3 days. So that's why he fasted and prayed. Asked for forgiveness. Asked the Lord to forgive him. The Lord answered his prayer. Forgive him. Send Ananias to his place. Lay a hand on him so that can restore his sight. When his sight was restored, he baptized right away and become Christian. You got that? So, Proverbs chapter 8 verse 20, Jesus Christ, the Bible said, God walk in the way of righteousness along the path of justice. If you want to meet God face to face, we do what he wants us to do. And then when we meet him, we do the right thing, we do the good things, follow what he told us, he bestows wealth to those who love him. And making his treasuries full. Okay? But if you're doing wicked thing and you met him, he's going to cause your eye to be blind. You can't see. It is very scary. Right? So in the Bible, we learn two things. First, learn to love him. Secondly, learn to fear him. And these two lessons, we have to learn it at the same time. If God allowed Saul to keep persecuting Christians without interfering his wickedness, will he go to hell eventually? But God loved him, caused his eye to be blinded. And then he's scared. He feared God. He fasts and prays. And he repents. And then the Lord sent Ananias over him and prayed over him. And his sight was restored. And he became Christian. When he became Christian, he has written 13 books out of 27 books in the New Testament. More than half of it, right? Because God said, this is my chosen instrument. How can Saul become poor? Saul is a wicked person, but God caused his eye to be blinded, and he repented. He turned around, and God going to use him greatly. Okay? Is there any question regarding Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 to verse 21? God say, I love those who love me, If you love me, what do I get? God gonna bestow wealth on those who love me. What happened to those who seek me? Those who seek me will find me. When you walk in the path of righteousness, you walk along the way of justice, you will find him. When you find him, he gonna bestow wealth upon you. He give you blessing. If you resist him, he gonna punish you. He punished Saul, I fear God. He give wealth to Solomon, I love God. And you have a choice. I choose to do both. To fear God and to love God. Does it make sense? Go back to last week. Do you not know 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were purchased at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. If I use my eyes to go to internet to see things that I shouldn't have seen, if I use my ear to hear things that I shouldn't have seen, I shouldn't have heard. If I use my hand to do things that I shouldn't have done, if I walk in the path of wickedness, am I offering my body to the Lord as a living sacrifice? Am I honoring God with my body? Or am I shaming God with my body? If I shame God with my body, what happened? 3:17, 1 Corinthians. If I destroy God's temple, what will he do to me? He will destroy me. So that's why God destroyed the eyesight of Saul without destroying his life, to give him a chance to repent. Fortunately, Saul repented of his sins and prayed to God. And God answered his prayer and used him to be a noble instrument. Okay? You have any question? Do you understand what I try to say? Holly, you have any question? No? Gabriel? Jerry? David? Do you memorize Bible verses, David? What about David's sister? Did you memorize it? 3:16 of 1 Corinthians? Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? And God's Spirit lives in you? And what's the rest?
If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy them. For God's temple is sacred, and you are the temple.
Okay. Remember that. You know, sometimes we use our body to sin against God. And sometimes we don't even know when calamity, when disaster comes into us, we don't even know why. Jewish people destroy his body, destroy God's temple without obeying God. Did anyone study the history of the Jewish history in Germany? What happened to the 6 million Jews in Germany? Have you ever heard of Holocaust? Have you ever heard of that? Because they disobeyed God. They say, it's okay, I disobey you. I get kicked out of the Palestine. I get kicked out of the Promised Land. I still can live in Germany. I still can live in Holland. I still can live in China. I still can live in Russia. What happened to those Gentiles? What happened to the German people? They killed them all. They worked so hard, the Jewish people worked so hard to make the money. And what happened to Germany? Confiscated all their wealth and gathered them all together from the very least of them to the greatest in the concentration camp and then killed them all. Because they dishonored God with their body. This is a very scary lesson for Christians to learn. If God disciplined his children, the Jews, will he not discipline the Christian? Hannah, you tell me. Where does it say? Romans chapter 11. The Bible says, if God does not spare the Jewish nation, he will not spare you. Don't have a dream. They say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a New Testament Christian, you know. Even though I do wicked things, you know, that God will spare me. No way, Jose. You are daydreaming, you know. You are daydreaming. Romans chapter 11. Could someone read that to me? Chapter 11, verse 11. All the way to 36. Joshua, could you read it? Loudly.
Again, I ask, they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is reconciliation in the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off in you, though a wild olive shoot have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say that branches are broken off so I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either.
Read that again, verse 21.
For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either.
If God did not spare the Jewish people, he will not spare you, Christian. Does it make sense? Don't ever dream. Say, oh, you know, I look at the Bible says God is love, and then you forget God is righteous too. Right? Isn't it? God is love, so that's why I love God. God is righteous, I fear God. Because I'm wicked. I'm not good. I'm not good enough in His sight. I need to repent. Because I'm a sinner. I always sin against God. I need to turn around and ask for forgiveness. Right? Does that make sense? So what did I teach today? Two main things. To love God. And second thing. To fear God. Does that make sense? Keep reading it. 22.
Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
Even though Jewish people sins against God, the moment Jewish people repent and turn around, will the Jewish people be saved? For sure will be saved. Okay? So the gospel telling us that we are all sinners, but the moment I turn around and ask God for forgiveness, ask God to show me mercy, God is merciful and forgiving and good, abounding in love to those who call on His name. The moment I turn around and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've done something wrong, Would you please forgive me? The Lord said, you got it. The moment Jewish turn around, the Lord will forgive them. In the same way, the moment the Christian turn around and repent, the Lord will forgive us. Does that make sense? Keep reading it.
And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, provided to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be ignorant to this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is a covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account, but as far as the election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of the disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. Amen.
So in that Romans chapter 11 teaches us two things. To love the Lord and to fear the Lord at the same time. Okay, I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 to 27. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. In other words, if you as a parent fear the Lord, you not only have a secure fortress, if you fear the Lord as a parent, your children will have a refuge like you. Because your children will learn how to fear God from your behavior, from your conduct. So make sure that we learn to fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you will have a secure fortress. And not only you get the blessing, your children will get the blessing too. For his children, it will be a refuge. Okay? If I don't fear the Lord, what happens? Will my children fear the Lord? No. Because your children going to follow your daddy. Is your daddy Christian? No. But your daddy is not Christian, but now you're Christian. It is grace. Because your mother is a Christian. If your mother wasn't a Christian, no way today you will come here. You thank God having a good mother. Now it is your responsibility. Now, Andy, I want to ask you a question. Let's say if Jesus Christ comes back today, your mother going to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven, your sister Katie going to go to heaven, but your father going to go to hell. You say, Daddy, goodbye. Is that what you're going to say to your daddy? Then you better do something then. Right? If you want to do something, should your life be changed first? And then, you learn God's word, tell it to your dad. Say, Daddy, I don't want to see you to go to hell. I love you. You understand? Okay. Another thing. How can you show your respect to your daddy?
Honor him.
Listen to his word. And then, when you become old, how can you honor him? Give him money, right? But if you earn lousy salary, how can you give him money? You may say, Daddy, would you please give me money? I don't have enough money. You know what I mean? You want to honor your daddy? Study now, man. No other way. Okay? Even though you want to honor your daddy, if you work in McDonald's, you're making $8.50. 10 years later, $8.95. Another 10 years later, 920. You can't even pay for apartment. Wake up, man. Study hard. Okay? The only way for you to honor your daddy is take care of them. What's the benefit of honoring your daddy? Two benefits. What did God promise us? Live a long life. Secondly, you'll go well with you. And your descendant will be blessed too. Right? Do you remember the Bible verses? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the right thing to do. By doing so, it will go well with you. You may live a long life on the earth, right? This is the command with the promise of blessing. If you choose not to receive blessing from the Lord, what can I say? It's your choice. But one thing I know, He is faithful. Whatever He promised me, He will do it. Michael, do you hear that? What do you hear? If your daddy and mommy ask you to work hard in your homework, do you argue? Do you go to the computer room and play games? What would you do, you tell me?
I'll memorize Bible verse.
You memorize Bible words. Well, I remember what you have said. Obey your parents. Okay, I remember that. From time to time, I'm going to ask that. You know, I will see. Okay. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. If you fear the Lord, not only you get the blessing, the second generation will also get the blessing, because they will follow your conduct to fear the Lord. Okay? Daniel the senior, you planning to get married soon? No? Well, you better start memorizing Bible verses. When you get married, you have children, you don't know how to handle them. Right? Right? 14 verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. What is a fountain of life? You know, now people say to me, I don't need a fountain. Like I go to the tap, you know, I go to the washroom, I go to the kitchen, I get the tap water, right? I don't need fountain. I don't need to go to a well or a fountain to have water. But in those days, without water, there's no life. Without water, there's no job. Because if famine, how can it bear fruit, the tree? The tree won't bear fruit. Your crops won't bear fruit, right? You get nothing. So the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. In other words, if you fear the Lord, you have good job. I can guarantee you have good job. Let me tell you one thing. If I know, Christopher, you fear the Lord. Daniel, if I know that you fear the Lord. If someone tell me, Pastor John, you got to make sure you pray for Daniel. Because now he graduated from university. He has no job now. But he's the man who fears the Lord. Oh, you fear the Lord? Man, I memorize Bible verses 14, verse 27 of Proverbs. He who fears the Lord is a fountain of life. Lord, give him a good job. Will the Lord answer me?
Yes.
Yes. I didn't see you for a long time. Where have you been? Where have you been? Another church? Who told you to come to this church? He who fears the Lord has a fountain of life. He can have a good job. He can have a healthy body. Okay? anytime you go to that place, you're going to quench your thirst. When you are in need, when you are poor and needy, as long as you fear the Lord will watch over you and bless you. Okay? Did anyone remember Elijah's story? Did anyone remember Elijah's story? You remember? You don't remember? Anyone remember Elijah's story? When Elijah the prophet, the holy prophet, see that his people from the northern kingdom sins against God. And Elijah is the one that who read the Bible all the time. What did he do? He read Deuteronomy chapter 28. He read Leviticus chapter 26. These two Bibles talk about the blessing of the Lord and the curses of the Lord. When Elijah read the Bible, and he realized that if God's people sins against God, and God said, I will not send rain on earth. So what did Elijah do, Joshua? What did he pray? Now, listen to me. In Deuteronomy, would you please turn to it? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 23. And 24, could you read it, Josh?
The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed.
So what happened? Verse 15, you read that too.
However, if you do not obey the Lord your God, you must simply follow all his commandments. And if you do not give you today, all these curses will come upon you.
So all these curses, verse 23 and 24 is part of the curses, right? Right? So he read the Bible, he realized that God said through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 23 to 24, anyone who disobeyed God, God gonna curse upon the ground. No more rain. And what happened? Then what did Elijah do? Did he ask the Lord to send rain?
Yes.
No, you don't read the Bible. Gabriel, what did he do? You don't know. You should read the Bible. Daniel the senior, what did he do? You don't know. Wow. Miriam the teacher, what did Elijah do? You don't know. Man, man, man. You know, oh, man, man, man. I tell you, what did he do? Could you do me a favor? The short Bible verses that you know the end result. James, in the New Testament, chapter 5, 17, to 18. Oh, man. Could someone read that to me, Josh? James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18.
Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on Elijah for 3.5 years.
What did he do?
He prayed for no rain.
He prayed for no rain. Did he pray according to what God said?
Yeah.
Is he a crazy man? How come he's a prophet? A prophet just like a pastor? Supposed to look after young people? What happens if I don't have rain? The fountain is going to dry out? It's going to be a famine? No food to eat? How come a pastor will pray like that? Can anyone tell me? To teach them to fear the Lord? Because they sin against God? And God said, if you sin against me, I'm going to curse you. How do I curse you? One of the cursing is, I stop sending you rain. Before Elijah prayed, it keep raining. They're still wealthy. They still have good job. You know what? Let me tell you one thing. If any of your children disobey your parents, if your parents tell me, my daughter, my son disobey me, if he tell me, I'm going to pray to God. I say, God, discipline that person. And I will earnestly pray and until God going to discipline you. What do you hear now? You better listen to your parents, okay? Because if you listen to your parents, it will go well with you. If you listen to your parents, you will live long life on the earth. I can't pray to God to stop bless you because I can't against God's truth. She's a good child. I will pray for blessing. I will pray for cursing. You think I'm crazy? But if you disobey God, I want you to learn a lesson. I don't want you to go to hell. I want God to discipline you in such a way you're going to turn around and be saved. Does that make sense? Is Elijah love his people by praying to stop sending rain? Yes, you better believe it. And after 3.5 years there's no rain, what happened? God say, wow, they suffer enough now. Elijah, talk to the king. I'm going to send down rain. When after he talked to the king, look at the sky. Sunshine. No rain. He's feared that he become a false prophet. God say send the rain, but not sending rain. He go up to the mountain and praying 7 times. Eventually, God send the rain. God hear the prayer of a righteous man. Listen to me carefully. If you disobey your parents, I have good relationship with all of your parents. Am I right, Hannah? If he tell me something that I don't like to hear, I'm going to kneel down and pray to God. I'm using God's word to pray. And I know God can answer me. You got that? If your children, if your father tell me, oh, my daughter is very good, Pastor John, pray for the blessing. Pray that he do well at school. Pray that he get a good job. Pray that he marry a good husband. Pray that he get a good marriage. I would do so. Alright? Is it deal? Is this a deal, Gabriel? David? So you better listen to your parents, okay? Okay, keep going. Go back to 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snare of death. If you do not fear God, you're going to fall into the trap of death. You're going to fall into the snare of death. If you fear God, you're going to turn around and have life. Okay? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snare of death. If you do not fear God, you keep going, you keep doing your own thing. Elijah is the one that is a good prophet. He wants his people to be saved to go to heaven. But they sin against God. If they keep doing it and keep having a job, keep having a good time, they eventually go to hell. Elijah do not want them to go to hell. So they pray that the Lord to stop sending rain. And then when the Lord stopped sending rain, he teach about Deuteronomy chapter 25, chapter 28, verse 23 to 24. See, what God say is faithful. You better turn around and believe in God and obey God. Okay? Fear God is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snare of death. Does it make sense? Finally, Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. If you fear God, you become a wise man. You don't fear God, you are a foolish one. Eventually, you're going to suffer. Eventually, I see with my own eyes, you fear God, you come with humility too. You're humble before the Lord, humility comes before honor. Okay? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you hear the prayer of your servant. I pray that as our children obey you, I pray that you surround them with your grace as shield. Shield them from any attack from Satan. Shield them from any curse that fall upon them because of their disobedience. As they turn around from the snare of death and obey you, I pray that you turn around to give them blessings. And help our children to remember your word so that they learn how to love you and to fear you. To love you by obeying your word, to fear you is to shun evil. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Daniel, write that email. And that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 Bible verses. Okay? Praise for food.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the food and give us good health too. For our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is in us, and whom we have received from God. And I pray that you use our body to honor you and obey our parents and obey our official and obey the leader in the church. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.